since 1972 and are experts in pre-arrangement, right down to the last detail. Details that you may not be aware of. The Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Socorro walks you through the entire process, explaining everything, and most often will save you money. 100% of all pre-need purchase money is placed in a trust fund in the name of the person buying the merchandise and service. So before you decide on anything, be sure to call 445-2200. That's 445-2200 and talk with Tom Steichner or Tammy Steichner, second generation of the Steichner family. Pre-arrangement by the Thomas M. Steichner Funeral Home in Socorro. Go ahead. Give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Well, looks like we got some sunny skies today. A high near 72 tonight. That weather could change a bit. We have a 70% chance of a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. And then we're going to hold on to that kind of forecast as we go through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Even though Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you may see a bit of sunshine. But just expect some possible wet weather coming our way. 72 for a high on Friday. 75 on Saturday. On Sunday, about 82. We're sitting at about 68 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Boy, what a day to play hooky, huh? It is really nice out there. This is spring at its very best today. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Open talk to begin the program today. We'll have guests later. We're going to be talking about drug pricing and Medicare. This will be of special interest to seniors who are on Medicare, or perhaps children, adult children of aging parents. We'll be talking with Jim Greenwood, who's the CEO of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. Drug pricing and Medicare. Also on the program today, we'll be chatting by telephone with Margaret Mendel, who's written a historical novel about the politics of French colonial Vietnam, you know, long before the U.S. was involved in Vietnam, of course, the Vietnam War. Now, Vietnam was a French colony. Did you know that? You remember that? Yeah. French Indochina. And the French were there for quite a while, finally defeated and ousted, and the Americans got involved. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Margaret Mendel later on the program. But it's open talk to begin with. Our phone number is 283-2525. 283-2525. Open talk today. I suppose I must be one of the very, very few people in the United States of America who is not a fan of the Big Bang Theory, the television program, which wraps up a 12-year run on TV tonight. They've got a special one-hour-long finale for the Big Bang Theory. I did not realize that it had been on for 12 years, but it debuted in 07. And it has become very popular, one of the most popular times, the very most popular TV show. I don't know. I just, it's never... It's never been able to ring the bell for me. I've watched a little bit of it here and there. I don't think I've ever watched a full episode. I know people. I have friends and acquaintances. I have people in my family who never missed the show. You know, they think it's hilarious and the greatest thing in the world. I don't know. It's never done it for me. But anyway, it wraps up. You a fan? You like the Big Bang Theory? If so, you're probably going to be able to watch it forever. I don't know how many episodes they did, but it's been on the air for 12 years, so there's got to be a ton of them. And it'll certainly be in syndication. Like Friends. That Friends show, which had to go out of production at least 15 years ago, maybe longer. That's still on. When I flip through my channels, there's like three or four different stations that have Friends on all the time. Amazing for me. I was never a big fan of that show either. Do I like sitcoms? Good ones. And there are a handful that I really enjoy. I don't know. Do you have a favorite sitcom for TV or don't you watch them at all? Seinfeld, I still find very funny. Hilarious. In fact, this week I tuned into one of the reruns and I was actually laughing out loud. What a great show that was. But that's, you know, that's been out of production for 20 years. Seinfeld, one of the all-time greats. I would say it's one of the top three sitcoms of all time. But I don't know. Big Bang Theory just doesn't do it for me. Open talk, 283-2525. Let's get to the people, see what they have to say. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave. I have to agree with you about the comedians, but Tim Conway will always be one of my favorites.
Very, very sad to see his death. He lived a long life. You know, he was in his mid to late 80s, and I guess he was suffering from dementia, so.
Yeah, that's sad for not only him, but for the family as well. Yeah. Actually, what I was calling about was I attended the school board meeting, which you advertised on your radio station and the Butler Eagle did, that was going on for the new directors at Cooper Hall in Saxonburg last evening.
Yes, this was for the South Butler School District, yeah.
Right, South Butler. And I am so disappointed. I was so disappointed that only two, Andrew Adams and Tim Daney, showed up to give their presentations, their positions on different topics.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. It was sponsored by some action group, I think, down there in South Butler School District, right?
I'm not sure who sponsored it, but it was taped, and there were only two of the people who were running for the school board who was there. And our school represents so many different townships and mm-hmm. has, what, almost 5,000 students and close to 300 teachers. And I think, and the audience, too. Oh, I couldn't believe it. There was only 12 to 15 people in the audience.
Wow.
And two of those were people who were, three of them were people who were related, I know, and then two were doing videoing. But it was very disappointing.
So you just don't think there's much interest in the election, or what?
It sure seems like there should be if people want to avoid the travesty that went on with the last teachers, you know, that confrontation when their was up? Their
contract.
Oh, I can't think of the word. Yeah, their contract was up. Thank you. Don't get a little forgetful. I can't remember this at all.
Well, any time you have that happening in a district, there's always some lingering, you know, ill will. But it surprises me that there wasn't more interest in that last night in South Butler. I mean, school boards, you know, have a great deal of power over your taxes, property taxes, after all. So
they certainly do. And as a senior who lives in the borough of Saxonburg, I've seen those taxes go up on a yearly basis, and you sure like. I don't mind paying for every penny that I owe in taxes, but you certainly like to see it being used efficiently, effectively, and for the best, you know.
I agree with you.
Best use.
Hey, nice
to
talk.
Thank you very, very much for allowing me to vent. This has been on my mind since I was at the meeting last night, and I appreciate what the Butler radio station does to try to get the word out there for people who might be interested. But thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. So long.
Bye.
283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. Hi, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah, Dave, I haven't talked to you in a few years, and I know, honestly mean that, a few years.
Well,
a few years.
Well, hello, and for goodness sake.
What I'm calling about is with these commissioners downtown to have something to do with the community college, that they raised our taxes to pay for those schools. They're building one down in Beaver and one up in Clarion. Now, we're going to pay for that?
Well, wait a minute. I've lost you here. First of all, you're talking about the Butler County Commissioners. Is that who you're referring to?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and
they raised $25 to $35, okay?
Well,
and I'm thinking, well, what's that for?
Well,
now, listen.
Well, wait a minute. I'm confused. Butler County Community College is not, to my knowledge, building anything in Beaver County.
Well, they certainly are.
What are they building? Beaver County has its own community college.
Well, okay. Hang on a minute. But what I'm getting to is, how comes that we have to pay for BC3? In taxes, because they know they can get it off of us.
Well,
I'm damn near 80 years old, and every time I get a nickel raise out of Social Security, boom, it's going right off the bat.
Well, I can understand that, but I'm trying to tell you that BC3 is not doing anything in Beaver County, and to the best of my knowledge, they're not doing anything in Clarion. They have satellite campuses places.
Here's my point. These here people down at the college, you know, your big shots, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. That's just like this Armstrong cable. Every time you turn around, that's the highest thing that I'm paying on is Armstrong cable, and I don't even have hardly anything, and I'm paying over $100 a month for that play. Crap. Huh?
Yeah.
All we're doing is paying for these guys to make $100,000. They don't want $100,000. They want $125,000.
Sounds like you have a lot of anger going here, my friend.
Oh, I do. Every time I turn around, everybody's just nickel and dime me to death.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I'll talk to you later. I just got a phone call coming in.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I think he's very confused on the Butler County Community College issue, but. Okay, let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. This is Dave Mularkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
I live on Whitestown Road.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple weeks ago, it was drizzling like it has been. And there was a lady walking down over the hill from, like, up where the church is there on Whitestown Road.
Yeah.
Picking up trash. She had a yellow vest on and everything. She wasn't a young person, but she walked clear down over the hill and turned around and walked clear up back over the other side and picked up trash. I don't know who she was, but I would like to say thank you.
Wow. What section of Whitestown Road was this?
It was from Home Avenue down to Fairground Hill.
Oh, my.
And back up.
Yeah. Good for her. Do you think she was part of an organization that picks up litter? You know, there are certain places along the highway where you'll see various groups.
She was all alone. I don't know if she was with an outfit or something along the way, but I just like to tell her thank you because it looked nice for about 2 days.
I just wondered, since she had the yellow vest on, if she was part of a group or something that policed that section. I'm not sure. It's kind of sad, isn't it, that we have to rely on volunteer groups to clean up litter along the highway?
It's really sad, and what's really sad is the fact that it doesn't last.
Yeah. I'm just a firm believer in raising the fine for littering to astronomical levels. It just bugs me beyond belief that people will wind down the window of their car and throw stuff out when they're driving along. That is so disrespectful and so ignorant.
Right.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
And you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. 283-2525 is the number. It is open talk here on the program today. 283-2525. Are you a fan of the Big Bang Theory? Do you like the show? Pat Parker, our engineer on the other side of the glass, is shaking his head. Yes, you like it, huh? You like it. Well, I realize I'm in a distinct minority for not liking it. It just, I don't know. It just seems sophomoric to me. I've never liked it. I know the show has morphed over the years to add more characters, but it just doesn't do it to me. But then again, you know, if you have a show like that that you don't like, you don't watch, so I don't watch it. Doesn't bug me. It'll never top MASH or Seinfeld, that's for sure. In my humble opinion. 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
I was listening probably a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking about the red lights on Main Street, complaining about how long they are.
Yes.
For Route 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to agree with you. I work for an automobile delivery service here in Butler, and I got to cross Main Street maybe 15, 20 times a day, and those lights are ridiculous.
If you're on any of the cross streets, whether it's Penn or Brady,
yeah,
or North or Newcastle or any of those streets, and you're waiting to cross Main,
exactly,
you can have a sandwich and a milkshake while you're waiting for the light to turn green. It takes forever.
Yeah, and then if you're stuck on that side street, maybe you get two or three cars through that light, and it changes again on you already.
The worst one of all is if you're on Penn Street, if you're on West Penn, and you're waiting to make,
yeah,
a left turn onto Route 8 North. I'm not kidding you. That,
yeah,
green arrow lasts,
yeah,
for about 2 seconds. And
that's
no,
yeah,
exaggeration,
exactly,
either.
Right, yeah.
That's
you
all.
You think the Butler Business Association would say something about that. I can get the light at the Ford garage, and I can go all the way through town without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be good for business. You think you'd want people to stop and take a look at your business there once in a while.
Well, PennDOT retimed those. They've retimed those lights a couple of times, and their
yeah,
aim is to keep traffic moving, but maybe they don't realize how many people have to cross Main Street to get from one side of town to the other. And
that's right.
You really have to wait. And by the way, while we're talking about PennDOT, how about the breakup of the road at the bottom of North Main Street Hill once again? It's falling apart again. I don't know whether
do you
travel that in your, you know, when you're delivering cars and stuff?
Yep, every day.
It's a disaster, and now people are starting to weave back and forth again to miss the numerous potholes, and there's going to be a bad accident there sometime. I can't imagine why they can't fix that.
I don't know.
Last year they put down strips of new pavement, and it didn't last at all. Obviously, there's some major problem there. You know, if you got to dig it up to fix it, then dig it up and fix it once and for all.
Yeah, the people that are stuck at the lights are the people that are in town here, the people that live here. We got to put up with that.
Yeah.
People that are going through, they just zoom right through and they're gone. I say let them wait. Let us get on with our business.
I'm with you. I side with you because I have to cross Main Street a lot during the week as well, and it's very frustrating.
Okay, Dave. Good talking to you.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk to you. So long now. 283-2525 is our number. We shall take a break and return with more of the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long, stressful? How about expensive? If you are answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With comfy coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. with fares starting at just $3.87. Not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park-and-ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
It's the Thursday edition. It's your turn here on WISR Open Talk right now at 283-2525. We're going to be talking about drug pricing and Medicare a little bit later on the program today with guest Jim Greenwood. I see that there are new regulations coming starting in July, I believe, this summer sometime. New regulations coming from Washington that drug companies are going to have to advertise their prices on the TV commercials that you see all the time. And boy, oh boy, you know, when you're watching television, the drug commercials are incredible, aren't they? They're everywhere for every possible ailment that you can think of. And the funny thing to me, I'd say funny, I mean, we're talking about serious illness here, but you have to laugh because in so many cases, you know, half of the commercial is about the drug and then you got 30 seconds worth of, you know, what it can do bad for you. Take this drug, it'll help your acne, but, you know, meanwhile you may get heart disease and pulmonary distress and cancer and everything else. It really is funny. But they never tell you what it costs. No. Well, they're going to have to see that soon. Starting in July, on all those TV commercials, they're going to have to tell you how much the drug costs. That's probably going to be a real eye-opener for people. I just hope that they don't do it in the real tiny print that you can't read that flashes on the screen for about 1.5 seconds. You know, like whenever they have the political campaign announcements on TV, the political ads, and they tell you at the end who paid for it, and it flashes on the screen for about 1.5 seconds in real tiny print. That's probably what it'll be. Well, anyway, it's a start, I guess. Mandatory disclosure of prices. And drug prices are high, that's for sure. Higher in the United States than anywhere else in the world. That's a bit of a controversy, too, why so many of these drugs are much, much cheaper in Europe and in other parts of the world than they are here in the United States. Well, that's one of the things we'll be talking about with Jim Greenwood a little bit later on the program today. And, yes, starting in July is when those new regulations go into effect about disclosing the price. We have book talk coming up on Monday. It's kind of sneaking up on us. I had to move it up a week because the following Monday is Memorial Day. A week from Monday, Memorial Day. Wow. Anyway, a guest from the Butler Area Public Library will be here, Laurie Hinderleiter, the director of the Butler Area Public Library, and a good book that they've chosen for discussion, Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. I'm not familiar with her, just started reading the book, as a matter of fact, last night. She's well known as a nature writer. She has a degree in zoology and another degree in animal behavior. Now, this book is a little bit about that, but it's also a coming-of-age story and a tale of possible murder, too. It takes place in North Carolina, Where the Crawdads Sing. So we'll be talking about that with Laurie on Monday, this coming Monday, a week early than usual for book talk because of the Memorial Day holiday. I have mixed emotions about Memorial Day. I think it's a fantastic holiday, but I'm always a little sad to see it come because that means the end of spring. And I don't like to see the end of spring. Open talk at 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi. Did you ever get a letter asking for a contribution for the National World War II Museum in New Orleans?
I have not. No, did you get one?
Oh, my, a couple years ago. And I can, it doesn't say anything about it being a repeat donation. Uh-huh. It just mentions one. Then you give them something. I mean, I had three brothers in the service, and I had two civil service positions, which don't count for anything. And I sent them a contribution every month. And not only did I get one letter, I got two. Huh. And they want a new contribution every month. Now, why did they put it in New Orleans where it floods?
That's an interesting question. I wondered about that, too. That is a legitimate museum, by the way.
Yes, I know it is.
The landing craft, I forget the official name of them, they were the landing craft that were used on D-Day, you know, when the Allies landed on Omaha Beach and Utah Beach and so on. Most of those landing craft were built in New Orleans. I think that's how it got started there. I'm not sure.
I wondered why they would put it there, because it floods there all the time.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But
me one thing is, and not mentioning this, is supposed to be a repeat donation, and then getting a letter from somebody else, and you get these letters every month.
Yeah,
one donation, that's it.
That's the problem, and you wonder how much money they waste on, you know, keep sending letter after letter after letter.
Yes, yeah. Maybe they get it free, but somebody has to be paid for it.
I agree with that. I donated to a national nonprofit. It wasn't this organization, but it was another one some years ago, and I get bombarded all the time with requests.
And
to say, hey,
I understand all these organizations sending out all these letters. They're giving away these big prizes, and they want you to contribute and all that. Why don't they have money?
You got to be selective. You got to be careful, you know.
I know. Well, I just get so much mail that I pitch, you know.
I hear you.
But I'm tired getting it, that's for sure. But I think this World War II thing, that's a disgrace that they would do that, not telling you it's supposed to be a repeat donation, then sending not one, but then sending you another one.
Oh, I agree with you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. I'm going to take a break. Just about time for us to hook up with our first guest, so we will pause momentarily and be back here and talk with Jim Greenwood, one of our sponsors on the program today is Greenhouse, family-owned and operated since 1889. Boy, this is the time of the year to visit Schnoor's. I was out there last year. I haven't been out yet this year, but I was out last year. It's unbelievable. And flowers everywhere. Everywhere. Tremendous selection of annuals and hanging baskets and vegetable plants. They're celebrating 130 years of business. Been family-owned and operated since 1889. 130 years. Very friendly service, very knowledgeable staff. They can help you out. They answered some of my questions last year. Not quite sure what I'm going to get this year. Well, I'll find out. Probably be out this weekend. They have gift cards too, by the way. Schnoor's Greenhouse off Herman Road. Look for Schnoor Road by the RC Men's Club. It's Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. Schnoor's Greenhouse. Where to grow? Since 1889. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday, 11 to 5.
May is notoriously our area's strongest storm month, and with it comes a chance for down power lines. Hello, I am Patrick Marin, lineman for Central Electric Cooperative. If you encounter power lines on the ground or sagging low, stay away and warn others to do the same. Always contact 911. Remember, lines do not have to be sparking to be energized. If your vehicle comes in contact with down power lines, remain in the vehicle and wait until the utility crew arrives to de-energize the line. Warn others to stay away. Only exit the vehicle in case of fire by jumping out and away from the car with both feet together and hop away for at least 30 feet. Telephone or cable wires may come in contact with power lines. So remember to treat all down power lines as energized. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Patrick Marin, and my personal safety goal is to get home every night. What's yours? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Springtime is finally here, so get to Osterling's Lawn and Garden. Potatoes, onion bulbs, shallots, and garlic are all in stock. Chickens, ducks, and turkeys will be arriving the week of April 8th. Plus, asparagus, horseradish, and rhubarb roots will be in. Blueberries, raspberries, grapes, and much more will also be available. stock up on lawn supplies like grass seed, lime, fertilizer, and Bonai crabgrass preventer. Decorate outside with hummingbird and oriole feeders. Eliminate pests with Bonai dormant oil and fruit tree sprays. Also, protect your dog with Salvo flea and tick collars. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Listeners, I want to get an update on a recent subcommittee hearing of the Health Subcommittee of the Commerce Committee in Washington. We're talking with Jim Greenwood. Jim is the CEO of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. He's also a former member of Congress. Jim, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
So I understand there were some takeaways, maybe good and bad, from this recent Health Subcommittee hearing. What was it all about?
Well, as I think probably everyone knows, there's a lot of conversation and talk about drug pricing and the struggles that some people have gaining affordable access to drugs. It comes at an interesting time. The biotechnology industry is booming right now from a scientific point of view, and what I mean by that is our ability to understand the human body at profound levels, at the cellular level, at the genetic level, at the molecular level, and use that knowledge to invent new medicines is just galloping along. So we now have gene therapies and cell therapies, and we have immunotherapies where we can turn our immune systems against cancer. And this offers tremendous hope for patients of diseases that we've heard of and diseases that are rare. At the same time, something is happening, and that is that a lot of insurance policies are coming with large deductibles. And it makes it very difficult for people to acquire the drugs that they need because of the size of those deductibles.
Let's talk specifically about what might affect seniors who are on Medicare Part D, I believe, of Medicare is the drug thing, right?
That's right. In fact, when I was in Congress back in 2003, I was very proud of the fact that we were able to achieve a prescription drug benefit in Medicare where it had not existed since it was first created in 1965. But in order to do that, some of the most conservative Republicans who didn't really like the idea of creating a new entitlement insisted that the patient had, quote-unquote, skin in the game. So they have deductibles, and you have to pay percentages at different phases of the cost of the drug. And so we now have, of the 43 million people who are benefiting from the Part D program, about a million of them every year are having to pay more than $2,000 out of pocket. And some of those are paying $5,000, $10,000, $12,000, and on up. And I think that's wrong. I think it's immoral. I think that no one should ever have to do with that medicine that they need because they can't afford what's required to come out of their pocket. So we're very busy up on the Hill in Washington trying to convince members of Congress that they ought to change the law and they ought to put a cap on that out-of-pocket expense. So all of the beneficiaries, and most of these beneficiaries, of course, are retirees. They're seniors on fixed and limited incomes, and they need that kind of assurance that they can afford their drugs.
So what's the chance of a cap, say, $2,000 a year? What's the chance of that being passed?
I think we have a good chance of doing it. We've been spending a lot of time talking to members of Congress, and of course, the first thing that they say was, okay, well, how much is this going to cost? And it costs in the vicinity of about $1 billion a year to make sure that no one was ever confronted with that kind of a out-of-pocket expense. And then the members of Congress frequently say, well, who's supposed to pay for that, the taxpayers? And my answer is no. I think the drug industry should come to the table along with the insurance industry and say, let's see if we can figure out how to pay for this working with the Congress, because nobody wants to see someone with cancer or MS or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or any of these diseases be unable to afford new breakthroughs just because they can't come up with the cash.
How does this all relate with the so-called donut hole in Part D for Medicare? Because that's been confusing for seniors from the get-go.
Yeah, it has, and it was kind of the crazy way that we had to construct. It's a sausage-making process in Congress, and so the program was created with, first you have a deductible, that's $400 and some, and then you go through what they call the initial coverage period, and now you have to pay 25% of everything, of the cost. Then you go into the donut hole, and you have to pay 25% in there, and the industry gives a 70% discount to the drugs there. Then you get out of the donut hole and you have to pay 5% in what's called the catastrophic zone for everything on up. So it's not only expensive, but it is confusing, it is cumbersome, and it ought to be made quite simple, and that is some kind of a limit, call it $200 a month, $2,000 a year, $500 a year, whatever Congress can agree on, but something that's within reach of the beneficiaries.
So if it's 25% of the cost initially and 25% in the donut hole, what's the difference? I don't understand that.
Well, when you get to a certain amount of out-of-pocket costs, it goes to the donut hole. The beneficiary doesn't really notice that. What happens there is that the drug manufacturers have to give a 70% discount to the program. But the bottom line is seniors shouldn't have to be worrying about, well, am I in the deductible? Am I in the initial coverage period? Am I in the donut hole? Am I in the catastrophic? They should just know that no matter what happens to them, what medicines they need, that they're going to have a certainty as to what they can afford out of their pocket, and that it's not going to exceed that.
Your company, Biotechnology Innovation Organization, recently took a poll asking if people would support a cap on what seniors have to pay out of pocket for drugs. What were the results of the poll?
Well, the results of the poll are that, interestingly enough, most people, about 73% of people, say, well, they actually can afford their drugs and they don't have a difficult time with them, but it's the rest that's the problem. And those people have said in the results of our poll that, number one, they think the best way to keep prices down is through competition, and we agree with that, and we agree with the fact that 90% of the drugs that we can get now are generic, so that brings the price down. But they also are opposed to arbitrary price controls. And a lot of politicians are advocating for price controls. What price controls would do essentially is put an end to all of that science that I was talking about in the beginning, because investors just aren't going to invest in an enterprise where there's government price controls.
So many issues in Washington today are partisan. I mean, staunchly partisan. Is this a partisan issue? Are the two, are the Democrats and the Republicans fighting over this?
Well, not yet, and I hope it doesn't become partisan. We have Democrats and Republicans that are in favor of this approach. We're trying to make it bipartisan. There's no reason that it should be. This is, and you think about it, what is partisan about making sure that seniors and the disabled are able to get the drugs that they need at an affordable cost. The only time it gets partisan is if they say, well, we don't want President Trump to have a win, or we don't want the Democrats to have a win, or we don't want the Republicans to have a win. And if that's the way you think, go get another job. You don't belong in Washington.
Lowering drug prices has been one of the House Democrats' top priorities. Have they announced any specifics on that proposed legislation, or will they do so soon?
Well, there are a number of bills that have been introduced by Democrats. I would say that at this point, the Democratic caucus in the House does not yet have a unified position. But what we're trying to persuade them of is the issue isn't just banging away at the prices, because let's say you have a $10,000 cancer drug, and if you've got to pay $3,000 out of pocket, even if you could get the drug, the price down by 10% or 15%, it doesn't make that much difference to the patient. What makes difference to the patient is what comes out of their pocket, and that's where I think we need to focus laser-like. And the Democrats also have to, and everybody has to do this in politics. The cheap shot is to say, well, let's just beat up the drug companies. Most of these companies that are out making these drugs are smaller. That's where the innovation is going on. 90% of everything they try to do fails. So when they do succeed, obviously the reimbursement has to reflect the risk that's been taken and the losses that have been incurred.
Any specifics from Republicans on potential reform here, or nothing yet?
Well, the president has proposed a number of things. One of them that we really don't like, and that's the idea of basing the reimbursement in the Medicare program from the so-called Part B drugs, those are the injectable drugs, basing them on the prices that are agreed to outside of the U.S. in places like Canada and the U.S. Those are very different systems. They're socialized medicine. They have price controls there. They don't have a lot of innovation, and if we go down that pathway, it'll again, it will really hamper our ability to create new medicines.
Now I'm a little confused again because I thought Part A Medicare was hospitalization and Part B was for doctors. There's drugs included under Part B too.
Part B drugs are basically the drugs that are either injected or infused. These are often the cancer drugs, and they are for the most part the more complicated biologic drugs, and that's why they can't be taken orally. They have to be injected. That's the Part B program.
So the Part D drugs are pills
for the most part. Yes, they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All righty. Might we expect action on this anytime soon, or will there be more hearings, or don't we know?
Well, there will certainly be more hearings. There'll be lots of action. We're hoping to get something done in this regard this summer, because once you get too far into the election cycle, as you referred to, the politics gets tougher and tougher. So we'd like to get this done hopefully this summer and at least by the end of the year before we get into the silly season.
There you go, listeners. An update on recent developments in the drug pricing debate and some possible reforms that would be of great interest to seniors. Talking about this with us, our guest, Jim Greenwood, CEO of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. Very informative, Jim. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sure. So long now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Spring cleaning time, folks. If you're doing spring cleaning and you end up with stuff you don't need or want anymore, please consider donating items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. It's in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. Very convenient to donate. They have tons of free parking right outside the door. Their drop-off bins are right inside the door. Yeah. They accept clothing, shoes, furniture, household items. They'll sell the items. Somebody will be able to use them. And every penny of the proceeds of the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store stays in Butler County to help fund their food bank and client aid program. Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store, Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Help us so we can help others. Another one of our sponsors is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. How convenient is that? It's very convenient. Very affordable, too. You can ship U.S. Postal Service or UPS or FedEx. That's your choice. Also at Gone Postal Butler, they offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday. They're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. That's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road in Butler. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
On May 21st, I'm voting for Attorney Wink Robinson to serve as Butler County's next Common Pleas Court judge. I urge you to join with me and support him with your vote. This is Attorney Ray Conlon. I've known Wink both professionally and personally for nearly 3 decades. He's the most experienced candidate, possesses a solid knowledge of the law, has respect for others, and exhibits unquestionable ethical standards. Attorney Wink Robinson is clearly the right choice to serve as judge for all Butler County citizens. Please join me and thank Wink on May 21st.
Paid for by the candidate, William Wink Robinson.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Got a pretty good novel to talk about, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey, and our guest joins us by telephone, author Margaret Mendel, and is going to be talking about a novel that she's written called Pushing Water. Hi, Margaret. Nice to have you with us here today. Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you. Thank you.
I'm fascinated by the setting for your novel, Pushing Water. We go to Vietnam, but long before American involvement there. We're talking about the late 1930s, right?
Yes.
So refresh our memories here. This was Vietnam was part of what was known as French Indochina back in those days, right? It was a colony of France.
Yes, it was. The colonial government, French colonial government, was overseeing the country, and basically all of Asia was divided into, you know, India was with Britain, and, you know, the countries were all divided between other major countries.
We forget about that. We forget about France as a colonial power. You know, for example, they had a colony in North Africa for a while.
Yes.
In Algeria.
Yes, they did.
And they continued in French Indochina until, and you'll have to help me here, but it was the Battle of Dien Bien Phu. Am I remembering that correctly, where the French were defeated and ousted?
Yes, I think it was like 1954.
And then, of course, the American involvement began. So tell us a little bit about your book, Pushing Water. What's this one all about, Margaret?
Well, it's about a woman, Sarah, an American expat working for the French colonial government as an archivist in Vietnam in the late 30s. One morning she arrives at work and finds a Vietnamese co-worker murdered. And at that point, she gets very involved in trying to find out who murdered him. And as she does, she unwittingly is drawn deeper and deeper into the Vietnamese revolutionary struggles that are going on against the French colonial rule. She's, you know, and so the story progresses with a friend of hers, an old-time friend from the States, and a photojournalist who is just leaving the, has just arrived, and she's, she brings with her memories that Sarah, I think, would rather not remember, and it's like Sarah has a past, and she's in Vietnam trying to forget some issues, some an old lover that was killed during the Second World War. Mm. And she elicits Julia, Sarah and Julia begin to look for the killer. And as they do, the political times grow more and more complicated and dangerous, and the women get pulled deeper and deeper into the country's struggles.
Sarah is a very interesting character. How did you create the character of Sarah? Is that, in fact, based on any real individual or perhaps a composite of some real people?
Well, Sarah kind of came up. I got the idea for this story initially, and obviously there has to be a character in the story because it was not, you know, and she became like a viewer. She became someone who I placed in the middle of the turmoil in the country, and I said, okay, now let's see what Sarah sees, let's see what she finds out. And as I began to do my research, Sarah became the observer of what I was finding in my research.
Your character of Julia, that's the photojournalist, American friend, is also very interesting. How did she end up in Saigon? She was investigating, of all people, Amelia Earhart, right?
Right. Well, she pretended to be coming to Vietnam to investigate what happened to Amelia, but really she came to the country curious about what was going on. She had just left the Spanish Civil War and reporting there, and decided to see Sarah, and because she knew Sarah was there, and to begin to explore what was happening in that country as a photojournalist.
This, of course, was in the time period when the Vietnamese people were struggling for independence. Was Ho Chi Minh around at this time, or did he come later, Margaret?
Well, he was part of the revolutionaries that were in the area, but he did not come into power. He did not come into, any strongholds with the revolutionaries. until much later. But he was there. He was there struggling with the Vietnamese revolutionaries all the while.
We're talking, listeners, if you've joined us a few minutes late on this segment of It's Your Turn, we're talking with author Margaret Mendel about her historical novel, the title of which is Pushing Water. Well, we had enough problems with the French, of course, having what now is Vietnam as a colony, but there were other things happening as war approaches Europe. The Japanese invaded, did they not, in this territory?
Yes, actually, the Japanese began to use Vietnam as a jumping-off point. They had ports and they had airports, and they had become very aggressive in beginning to overtake the country, and it became a real struggle between the French colonial government and Japanese who were in control, and it became a part of the intrigue that was going on in the country. It was not just the French and the revolutionaries, it was the Japanese that were coming over, and it just became a very complicated and a time fraught with just all kinds of dangers and intrigue.
And the Japanese were, and this is part of history too, by the way, and they were demanding information from the French, including maps from the archives, and that's where your character, Sarah, is working, so that's how she's drawn into that. It's fascinating, fascinating to look at Vietnam during this era, before the American involvement there. What led you to write about this? Did you have an interest in the history of Vietnam, Margaret? How did you come to write this novel?
For years, I had, you know, most of us, you know, have at a particular age level grown up with Vietnam as a war, and I never understood where it all began. So one day, I just set about getting books that had Vietnamese history, and began to study the Buddhists and the, you know, the pre-revolutionary, Vietnamese revolutionaries, and it just began to bubble up all kinds of interesting issues that were related to, I had no idea were happening, and the more I read, the more exciting it became, and it just was a passing interest initially, and then it just grabbed me.
It's a tragic story with the America's involvement in Vietnam during the 1960s and 70s, especially. I recall reading, Margaret, maybe you can back me up on this or correct me if I'm wrong, one of the great ironies is that after World War II and the defeat of the Japanese, Ho Chi Minh was begging for help from the United States, asking for help in getting the independence of Vietnam, and the U.S. turned a deaf ear. If we had only helped out, maybe he wouldn't have gotten help from the communists, and we would never have had the Vietnam War, right?
Exactly, exactly. There were several times like that it could have been prevented, and it wasn't. And it's history, and it's pretty much that's where the title comes from. That it's the water in the back that pushes the stream forward. And it's like the history from the past that pushes us into the present day.
How would you classify your book? I've referred to it as an historical novel. Is that correct? Or is it more of a mystery or kind of a combination?
Well, I would say it's not your typical historical novel or mystery, but it has a strong element of mystery in it, and it has a strong element of humanity, and that's, I think, where I get a little caught up in, the history, the mystery, and the elements of what really happened during a time, because I like to be as accurate as possible. But I tend to focus on the humanitarian aspect, so it becomes less historical mystery and more humanitarian historical with a slight edge of mystery in it.
Margaret Mandel lives in New York City. She is a past board member of the Mystery Writers of America. She has a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing from Sarah Lawrence, and she's written many, many short stories that have appeared in literary journals and anthologies. You have a blog, Margaret, where people can read more about you and about your novel, Pushing Water. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how can they find your blog? Do you have a website or something?
It's called pushingtime.com.
I must comment on the cover of your novel, and I realize that you probably don't have anything to do with that. That's the publisher's, but
well,
it is a beautiful, beautiful photograph of it appears to be a sunset over a river in Vietnam. Am I correct on that?
Yes, yes. Yes, the publisher has a very good artist that works with the authors, and though she did, it was interesting. She had one piece, a dragon, that I liked very much. But every time we looked at it, it looked like the dragon was taking a bite out of the boat. So we had to remove the dragon. But yes, I'm glad you like it too. I like it very much.
Yeah, I can almost see myself on the Mekong Delta looking beautiful, beautiful artwork. Margaret
Thank
Mandel.
You.
Is the author. The title of the novel is Pushing Water. And if you're looking for her online, the last name is spelled M-E-N-D-E-L, Margaret Mandel. Margaret, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for visiting with us.
Very nice to be talking with you as well. Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a good day now. So long.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Hi, my name's Joe, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers, and I believe in CCC and medical marijuana because we are changing patients' lives in a positive way each and every day. Compassionate Certification Centers is a physician-owned clinic that helps certify patients in PA for their medical marijuana license. Please contact Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 or register online at cccregister.com.
Election Day is approaching. Do you know who you'll be voting for? The Butler Radio Network has made it easy for you to get informed on the candidates asking for your vote. Our 2019 election preview guide is available at butlerradio.com. There you can listen to interviews and read backgrounds on the candidates in several races, from the Butler County Common Pleas Court judicial race the whole way down to your local school board. There will also be two special elections on this month's ballot, one in the 11th State House District to replace former State Rep Brian Ellis, and another in the 41st Senatorial District to replace former State Senator Don White. Election Day is Tuesday, May 21st. Get out and vote. But before that, visit Butler Radio's election preview guide at butlerradio.com.
It's an American theater classic, and it's live on stage at the Butler Little Theater, Our Town by Thornton Wilder, the story of Grover's Corners, a town that might sound very much like our own. You'll discover the life, the love, and the loss we all know so well. Don't miss this poignant production of Our Town at the Butler Little Theater, May 10th through the 18th. For tickets, online, bltgroup.org or the Butler Little Theater Facebook page, or call evenings between 7 and 9 p.m. 287-6781.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.